Okay, this morning we're looking at Revelation chapter 7. And as I usually do, I give you the title for the message, and it's found from verse 10. The title of the message is Salvation to Our God. Now, who needs salvation? Who needs salvation? Sinners. If I can find a sinner, I've got good news. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And they cried, these who were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they cried, salvation to our God, who sits upon the throne of sovereignty, majesty, glory, and holiness, and unto the Lamb upon the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that our Lord Jesus Christ is called God our Savior. We had that in our Bible study this morning. He sits upon the throne of God's absolute, eternal, everlasting throne of dominion, ruling and reigning, controlling the affairs, decreeing everything that comes to pass in time, was decreed by God Almighty from eternity. He is a Lamb upon the throne who has salvation. Do you need salvation? I do. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I am a great sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is a greater Savior. He is what He's called, isn't He? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. He is a Savior that really saves us. He is the Redeemer who really did effectually redeem all of His elect from all of their sin. This is the one I need. This is the one you need. Peter declared before that council, neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation to our God. Salvation originates with Him, is accomplished by Him, is executed by Him, applied by Him, to His glory and honor forever and ever. Now the subject of chapter 7 in Revelation chapter 7, the subject of the chapter is the salvation of God's elect. The salvation of God's elect. It is the subject of the whole Bible. Christ saves sinners. It's the subject of the whole Bible. We've read many, many times in God's Word that salvation is of the Lord. Remember? Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah cried that out of the belly's fish when he was in that belly's fish for 3 days, being swallowed up by a fish prepared and sent of God. And he proclaimed unto the Lord that salvation is of the Lord. That's our testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. We read about Him, and He said Himself that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's the Savior of sinners. We're going to study in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. We started a Bible study this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1. But on that chapter, on to verse 15, said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul the Apostle said, I'm the chief one. Don't you feel that about yourself? There's nobody as wicked as me, as wicked as myself. I think that of myself, wretched man that I am. I think that's a testimony of every believer. There's none as guilty as I am. There's none as vile as I am. But we do cry that salvation is of the Lord. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call good folks. He came to call and to save bad folks. The final and complete judgment is coming to this world. We studied that in chapter 6, verse 16. These who pray unto the rocks and the mountains to fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Only those who stand in Christ. They stood before the throne, before the Lamb, chapter 7, verse 9. Who shall be able to stand or withstand the day of God's wrath and judgment? Only those in Christ, only those sealed in their forehead by the grace of God. Final and complete judgment is coming upon this world, but not until the Lord calls out His elect and seals them with everlasting salvation. That's what we see in chapter 7. The question is asked by those who had suffered and died for the gospel in verse 10 of chapter 6. How long, O Lord, until judgment will fall, until vengeance of the Lord is revealed upon the ungodly? And the answer comes back in chapter 7, verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of God in their head. In their head. In their thoughts, in their mind, in their will, in their affection. Saved by the grace of God. You remember, I thought about this, and I don't know why I think about these things, but there was an old rock and roll song back in the 60s, I don't remember who had the song, but there was a chorus of that song that went, signed, sealed, and delivered. You remember? Some of you probably too young to remember that. But signed, sealed, and delivered. That is what the gospel is all about. He chose us, signed, sealed, and delivered in Christ by the grace of God. Christ signed for us in the eternal covenant of grace, when He stood as a surety of the eternal covenant, the guarantee of our salvation is in His name. He signed His name in His own blood and redeemed us. And then He sealed us. He sealed us with the covenant of His blood, by the atonement of His blood for our sin. He bought us with His own blood. God bought the church with His own blood. And then He delivers us. Remember from our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, how He's called us to turn to God from our idols, to serve the living and true God who delivered us from the wrath to come. He's not appointed us to condemnation. He has delivered us from the wrath to come. He's appointed us unto salvation. All that the Father hath given to me, they'll come to me. And those that come to me, He said, I'll never cast them out. Now, in verse 1, 2, and 3, the Lord preserves this world until all the elect of God are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, sealed with the everlasting blood of Christ, and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We read Matthew 24 last week, and we read verse 14. It said, the gospel shall be preached in all the world. Why is that so? Because He said, go preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then cometh the end. Now, the end is near. Preacher, are you predicting when the end will come? No. I'm looking for Him who is coming. I'm not looking for a date or a time or a place. I'm looking for the Lord who is coming back. The times and season no man knows, nor do we need to know. We're looking for Him who is coming. Verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth, saying, verse 3, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, that we seal the servants of God, of our God, in their head, in their forehead, in their forehead. The instruments of judgment, these four winds, already prepared for destruction, waiting to unleash God's power upon the earth, the four corners of the earth, east, west, north, south, to destroy all opposition, to destroy all the enemies of God, to avenge the elect of God. They are prepared to hurt the earth at the command of God, prepared to carry out the just and holy judgment of God against all enemies, against all sin. Now, you can turn with me if you want to. You don't have to. But you remember when we studied through 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. We read about this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was believed in that day. Our testimony among you was believed in that day. The Lord is coming back. The instruments of destruction have already been prepared. These mighty angels, at the command of God, will destroy all things. Now, verse 2 and verse 3, John said, I saw another angel. Now, the four angels holding those four destructive winds, ready to destroy at the command of God. And then suddenly John sees another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, having the salvation of God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom is given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Suddenly John sees another angel here. Who is this angel? This is not a created angel. This is the angel. This angel is the servant of God himself, the Son of God himself, who is not a created being, not a created angel, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God our Savior. He commands and controls all things, for he is the mediator of the covenant. One God, one mediator between God and man. God and men, rather. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Malachi 3:1, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the messenger of the covenant. That's what an angel is, a messenger. Behold my servant, my elect, in whom I delight. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter, the last promise. There's an article on the back of the bulletin. Don't read it now. But from Malachi 4, verse 2, Christ is called the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. This is the angel that came from the east to accomplish all God's purpose. Now watch this. Our Lord Jesus Christ had the seal of the living God. Who but the Lord Jesus Christ could have this seal of salvation to save and justify a sinner but the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, the sacrifice of the covenant, the surety of the covenant, the God of the covenant. God had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. Who but the Lord Jesus Christ can speak with all power as to control and dominate all the angels? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. No mere angel, no mere created angel has power like that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, our surety, Savior, and Mediator. Final judgment will not come until all the elect of God have been sealed, all the servants of God, all believers of God sealed in their forehead. This is telling us that salvation is of the Lord. This sealing is the precious work of the whole triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The seal of the covenant of grace is the circumcision in the heart and regeneration. That's who the true Israel of God, that's who they really are. Paul describes them in Philippians chapter 3 as the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Listen to this scripture here in Romans 2. Let me just read it to you. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and that circumcision is of that of the heart, in the Spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the true Israel of God are those who have been operated on by the Spirit of God, circumcised in the heart, made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this sealing is all about. Made new creatures in Christ. The believer, the sinner saved by grace, is sealed by God Almighty. The seal here is a mark of protection. A seal protects from tampering. Even the products you get, you buy at the grocery store, before you consume them, what do? You check and make sure they're sealed, that nobody's tampered with it. The servants of God have been sealed by God, sealed from being tampered with. The believer in Christ is sealed by God the Father in that eternal covenant of grace, protected by the wise and good sovereign providence of God. We're kept by the power of God. He sealed us. He protected us. And secondly, a seal is a mark of ownership. The Lord Jesus Christ bought us with His own blood. He said, you're no more your own. You're bought with a price. God bought us with His own blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood puts away all our sin. Thirdly, a seal is a mark of certification. The believer is marked with the seal of God the Holy Spirit and is indwelt with God the Holy Spirit, where His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, let me just read this to you because this is familiar to you who study the Word of God. You remember in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we see there that God the Father choosing us in that eternal election of grace to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then we read further on in verse 7, Ephesians chapter 1. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Again, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 1, talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we should be to the praise of His glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Verse 13, Ephesians 1, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, and to the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. It all gets back to His glory. God forbid, we had it on the radio this morning, God forbid we should glory, say, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. So, what is the significance of being sealed? It says there in our text, Revelation chapter 7, sealed in their forehead. Why not aren't we? Why does it say we're not sealed in our stomach, or in our hands, or in our feet, or any other part of the anatomy of the body, but in our head, in our forehead? Well, what's the significance of being sealed in the forehead? Well, when you think about the forehead, you think about what? We think about the mind, the heart, the will, the affection. That's all in our forehead, isn't it? What we think, our will, our mind, our thoughts, our affection, our feelings, that all comes from right up here, doesn't it? That's where He does the work. And we often say in the heart, but it's really, when we talk about the heart, it's talking about when we believe the gospel with all of our heart, you're talking about all of our mind, our will, our affection, our feelings, everything about faith affects the whole person. In our forehead, those who are sealed have the knowledge of God. The gospel has been revealed to them in their mind. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Those who have been sealed have always been loved and known of God. We know Him. He's known us. How long has He known His church? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How long has He loved us? How long has He known us? When did He choose us? from everlasting to everlasting. He loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us unto himself. We gladly wear his name in our forehead, in our heart, in our affections, in our mind. Now, let's turn to a couple of scriptures here, right here close in the neighborhood. Find Revelation 14, verse 1. Revelation 14, we're going to see this again. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000, having his Father's name written in their head. His name's written in our head, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our will, our affection. And then turn to another scripture over here in the last chapter, Revelation 22, look at verse 4, verse 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. His name's written. We wear his name. We're called the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's sweet comfort for you who are resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, sealed by God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, no judgment, no wrath will come upon you. None at all. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Savior and substitute, died in our room, in our place, in our stead, took our sin to himself, and made complete satisfaction for them. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, we read in the book of Romans, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. No judgment, no condemnation. And again in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, he said there's no separation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that verse in the Song of Solomon that said, set me as a seal upon thine heart. Seal me, Lord, with thy salvation and with thy grace. Now, look at verse 4. And we'll look at verse 9 and 10. Verse 4 and verse 9 and 10. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel, all the elect of God. Verse 9, and after this I beheld in the Lord a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robe, palms of victory, palms of victory, the Lord's our victory in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne. Now, this 144 here are the same number as this great multitude saved and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's been much debate, much speculation about the 144,000. But let me say this. They represent the whole body of God's elect. You mean just 144,000 Jews are going to be saved? All of Israel shall be saved. The Lord is called our deliverer who shall save all Israel. You see, that typical nation was a type and picture of all the spiritual Israel of God, all the elect of God. They represent the whole body of God's elect, redeemed by his precious blood, the blood of Christ, called out of darkness in his marvelous light, delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into God's eternal kingdom. They all sing one song. These servants of God, sealed, they all have one song. Salvation to our God. Salvation to our God. He saved us by his grace. He saved us by grace alone. None can perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. We often ask that question, how many people are in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died? None. He saved them with an everlasting salvation. He sealed them with his blood. They're saved eternally in the Lord Jesus Christ. This number is a symbolic number, represents the whole spiritual Israel of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, all the elect of God. We've seen this before, haven't we? Turn back to chapter 5. Those saved by the grace of God, they all sing one song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive all honor, glory, blessings, and power." Look at Revelation 5, verse 9. "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign with him forever." Turn back to chapter 1. We saw this before in chapter 1. Those sealed and saved, justified by the grace of God, saved and washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb, they all sing this. Revelation 1, verse 5. "From Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And everybody said, everybody redeemed by the blood of Christ, saved by the grace of God, what do they say? Amen. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. This great multitude, we read about in Galatians chapter 3, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God." This great multitude stood before the throne, verse 9, the throne of the Lamb, and they stood blessed of God, this great multitude, redeemed by the blood of Christ. They stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed. Now, they don't stand there naked. I don't want to stand before God dressed in my filthy rags of my self-righteousness. I don't want to stand before the holy throne of God naked. I want to be clothed with the clothing that He provides, with the garments of salvation, with the robe of righteousness that He provides for us. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? God said, "The day you eat, you'll die." Remember they tried to get fig leaves? Remember they were naked. And they tried to sew fig leaves together to hide themselves from God? Well, that didn't work, did it? But before God put them out of the garden, you remember what He did? He killed an animal, slew an animal, sacrificed an animal, and He took that skin and provided for them a clothing, a salvation. That's a picture of Christ crucified and the righteousness we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ actually presents us. They stood before the throne dressed. They weren't ashamed. They weren't naked. Adam and Eve were ashamed. They were naked. They hid themselves. We stand before the throne of God dressed in His beauty, dressed in His righteousness, robed with what He's provided for us. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works." We don't have to stand before God naked. He provided for us a perfect clothing. Christ Himself is our righteousness. Believers stand in the presence of God, accepted in the Beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ actually presents us before God's throne, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Think about it. He's able to keep us from falling and present us. He presents us faultless, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, clothed with white robes. That's His righteousness. Notice down in verse 11, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now how can we be washed in His blood and be made white? Because He put away all our sin. God said, "Their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more." They're clothed with white robes, symbolic of His righteousness that's freely imputed to us by the means of the sacrifice and atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have these palms of victory in their hand. They've won the victory. They've won the victory. Who won the victory for us? You remember chapter 6, verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown. was given to him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're winners in Him. We have the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. In Christ, we have the victory. And we cry this, verse 10. And we cry with a loud voice. That is, we're not ashamed. We cry for all to hear, saying, salvation to our God. Those redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they know who redeemed them. They know how God saved them. Salvation to our God that sits upon the throne. Salvation to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power both now and forever. Salvation to our God. We often say from election to glorification, from Alpha to Omega, from the beginning to the end, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord in His planning. He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Salvation is of the Lord in His purchase. He bought us with His own blood. Salvation is of the Lord in its performance. He performed it for us. He finished the work God gave Him to do. Salvation is of the Lord in His perseverance. We're kept by the power of God. Salvation is of the Lord in His perfection. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's predestination all about? It's God determining and decreeing to have a people just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He's talking about here. That great multitude. 144,000. That great multitude. All the elect of God. Redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.